Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Bullshito Podcast. We're on episode 5 now, Sam. Five-time Bullshito Podcast hosts here. Let's go. Shout out to Booker T. You got pretty much avid professional Jiří Procházka mark, Sam.
Pain. I'm still going through pain. Although he did an interview to Czech media saying he would be ready to return to the octagon in 6 to 7 months. So not as much pain as I thought I was going to be through.
So
I thought it was going to be a year.
So how many times do you think he's going to read the Book of Five Rings till he comes back? And how powerful does he come back because of it?
1,000. And he'll make light heavyweight while weighing 300 pounds.
That's a big weight cut. That's kind of a big weight.
No weight cut. He's just gonna dematerialize the weight temporarily using the powers of Miyamoto Musashi.
All right.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first, folks. Jiří is gonna remove part of his body, disincorporate, and then immediately reincorporate, and he'll be super jacked to the tits. In the cage. Yeah.
Oh, man, Sam, we've had quite an eventful weekend, haven't we? In terms of fighting, but not only fighting. Philly signed Trey Turner.
And the Padres offered him more. How does it feel to suck our dick twice, San Diego? All right.
I didn't know that.
You lost in the NLCS, and then you were like, all right, it's fine, whatever. We'll go get Trey Turner. We'll offer him $341 million. Fuck off. We got him anyway because he wanted to be a Philly.
Dude, that's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, apparently this is not a baseball podcast, but apparently the Philly management sold him on a contract worth a little bit less and with a little bit less annual average pay for a longer contract so that they would be able to build a roster around him.
Yeah.
Sort of what they sold Bryce on.
Yeah, I mean, like,
max, but yeah, they're going to be building around them. Our lineup in hitting is insane.
It is insane.
Castellanos might be the worst hitter in our lineup now.
Bryce, and Scott. You also got Marsh.
Marsh is good.
He's okay. He only flared up in the postseason, though.
Marsh is good.
He is good, just not proven yet.
I'm a Marsh believer.
Duck Dynasty. Don't get me wrong.
I love Duck Dynasty.
I'm definitely a Brandon Marsh believer. I do think he's going to do well next year.
But the top of the order being like Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper,
JT
Reese Hoskins, JT Realmuto is crazy. Oh my God.
Cassianos.
I love it here.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We just got to get some pitching. We got to round out that bullpen. Andrew Painter looks nasty, dude. Nasty.
Yeah, I love that dude. We lost Eflin, but I think the Rays paid him like 14 mil a year. Yeah. And DeGrom is gone out of our division. Anyway, folks, that has been Baseball Shido.
Yeah, Baseball Shido.
on to the real news of the weekend.
Yeah.
Go Birds! No, I'm just kidding. This isn't Bird Shido.
Yeah, 11-1. 11-1.
11-1.
But we're not bragging. To all those motherfuckers that said the Titans would run all over the Eagles. Pain.
I believe Derrick Henry, 11 carries, 30 yards.
He did pretty bad for me and my fantasy team. I could have subbed in James Robinson. He would have gotten me more points.
That's crazy.
That's fucking sad, dude. That's sad. Oof. Shit. All right, that's football, Shido.
Speaking of fantasy sports and perhaps money being wagered on sports.
Perfect.
Want to intro our first topic?
Yeah, so I'm not going to lie, bro. This James Krause stuff is just wild.
It's kind of insane.
I have a really kind of hot take here. If you pay UFC fighters more, I don't think shit like this happens.
Probably not. So I just listened to the 45-minute Ariel Helwani monologue about this, essentially, where he went through the whole timeline and everything. That was my walk home from work and then getting prepped for this. And Helwani, back in August, interviewed Krause and brought up the betting thing briefly. And Krause was like, oh, yeah, I'm making a killing. I'm crushing it. I was 15-2 this last weekend. It rules. And Helwani asked him, how much money do you make on this? Is it like a significant amount? Is it more than you make coaching? And he's like, yeah, man, I don't make dick coaching. Like, I'm coaching guys who are 14 and 14, who are on 12 and 12 in terms of contracts. So they win, I get 10%. I get $2,000 in a week where I'm working Wednesday through Sunday to get them prepped. And then I'm getting them prepped in the fight camp before that, and I'm getting 2,000 at the end. Gambling, I have a good night of picks, I can make like 5 racks. So literally, if you just paid your athletes more, he wouldn't have the incentive to do this. But he operated a Discord server where I think it got up to 2,000 or 3,000 members, all of whom were monthly subscriptions of $50 a month. So he was also making money doing that. He was putting picks in there. And I'm not sure, because I don't think the Discord logs have been made public, and it's also deleted now, suspiciously, totally not. But a James Krause athlete, Derek Minner, against guy whose name I cannot remember and also would not be able to pronounce even if it was sitting in front of me. Derek Minner, he basically showed up with his knee blown out already and came out anyway. And the line moved about 120 points in the other guy's favor within 90 minutes of the fight starting, which is unheard of. So the guy was like a minus 234 favorite against Minner, and he went to minus 362. And also the line on the other guy, the line by him for him to win by KO or TKO moved really heavily as well.
Hmm.
So there was a lot of action on this random doofus on the prelims of a fight night with no UFC TKOs or KOs or finishes of any nature, beating established veteran Derek Minner by KO or TKO. Hmm. There's a lot of movement on that line. And now New Jersey temporarily suspended bets on any athletes associated with James Krause. And the big hammer was Ontario suspended bets on the UFC period. So there's stuff happening. Ariel compared it to the Maguire Sosa steroids era.
Yeah.
I think that's a little bit too much.
Yeah, that's but, what?
Yeah, huge deal. James Krause, it should be banned from the sport forever.
He's never going to do anything again. Ever.
Yeah.
He's totally, he's so, like, he thought he wasn't making money coaching now. Well, now you're not going to be making any money coaching.
Right.
The UFC, in my opinion, the big hammer of this all is that any fighter associated with him, coached by him or whatever, they can't even fight in the UFC. They have to find a new coach.
Yes. And the biggest fight, fortunately for the high end of MMA, the only high-end fighter that this actually affects is Brandon Moreno,
who recently
joined James Krause's camp. So, that sucks for Brandon, but at least it's not like, Javier Mendez is doing this, and now everyone at AKA has to find a new coach.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, the one of the ATT guys was doing this, you know, where Brandon Moreno has to find a new coach. It might make shit weird for the Figgy camp, but his other fighters were like Julian Marquez, the guy who was like, Miley Cyrus, date me.
Yeah, I love that guy is
impacted, you know?
I love that guy.
So I was about to segue into that, which is I really hope that this doesn't negatively impact Moreno's prep. Good news is Moreno was relatively new to Krause's gym. I think he only fought under Krause for the Kai Kara France fight. So maybe he can go back to his old training camp in Mexico. Maybe he can go to a super gym and sort of just slide right in as a ATT member or a AKA member.
Yeah, I think that's most likely. Brandon Moreno is on record saying that he wants to train in the US, and that's why he moved camps to the James Krause camp. So he wants to be in the US when he trains, because Mexico is just too, like, when you're an international fighter and you fight out of the States, most of the fights are in the United States. Flying in is just like a nightmare. They usually fighters come out and rent houses, like early. Like,
yeah,
they'll
fly
the whole
in
camp
2 weeks
here
or 3 weeks early, yeah,
and they'll rely on the PI, which is fantastic. I would love to work in a facility like that one day. Just the way they run.
Completely off topic. You saw Ilya Topuria went to the PI and he tweeted that they had to escort Patty Pimblett
out
the back
door. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of stink about that, saying like, oh, Patty's a pussy. There's no way that the UFC didn't do that. There's like,
right.
As if Patty,
you're not going to set yourself up for some sort of crazy situation
like,
going down.
Like, I would have done
especially
the same thing.
Especially after the Hamzat Costa thing.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think they're going to you know, take the risk anymore.
Right.
And speaking of taking risk, James Krause will never fight or never coach a fighter in the UFC ever again. Most likely every other promotion will see this and will ban Glory MMA fighters permanently going forward. So his gym will get shut down. I really hope he made bank on those fight picks. And I also really hope that any gaming board doesn't choose to prosecute him because they absolutely could. But that's what happens. Every other sport has rules about insider betting for this reason. With the exception of boxing, I think in boxing, you're allowed to bet on yourself. Hmm. And beyond that, you're not allowed to do anything else. But like Floyd bet on himself a few times.
He used to bet on himself all the time. All the time.
Right. So now in the new UFC policies, you're not allowed, if you're a UFC athlete or anyone in relation to a UFC athlete, so a family member, a coach, a manager, etc., you're not allowed to place bets on the UFC, period, which is how every other major sport works. It sort of certifies the UFC, kind of like USADA, where it certifies the UFC as a major sport. You know, they're doing the thing the NFL is doing and the MLB was doing, the NBA, like, oh, they're doing it. But like you're saying, the problem is that they don't pay their fighters millions of dollars. They pay them 14 to show and 14 to win.
Right.
Or for Dana White guys, Dana White's contender series, they pay them 10 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like these guys have to bet to try to make more than a middle class salary for cage fighting.
Yeah, I mean,
that's ridiculous.
I mean, imagine you're only making six figures as a cage fighter when your entire life is eating right, training right. Every fight you get injured. Every fight.
Yeah.
You're dealing with something, whether it's minor or major.
You're gonna have a hand injury and maybe a foot injury bare minimum.
These fighters don't even have health care.
Your backs. Right.
Exactly. Like you can't even give them health care, like really? So that they don't have to worry about like the financial setback of not fighting. Look, I get the UFC wants to be uniform and they got a lot of people to pay. Fighters are what makes the company, in my opinion. At least make it so where they can just live as a professional athlete when they get to the show. I mean, you don't want to have fighters have full-time jobs while they're like,
Who was it? Macy Barber was working a retail job or something like that.
Yeah, like
it was one of these new prospects.
Like
I know Jared Cannonier was like soliciting donations for a training camp at one point.
I think like
you shouldn't have to turn to that. You shouldn't have to be like, please support your favorite fighter and go to this GoFundMe link and pay for my gym.
Right.
Like, it should just be a no brainer that, hey, these guys are, I mean, in the UFC, not yet, but literally putting their lives on the line. Like no one has died yet. Thank God.
Yeah.
But it's a violent, violent sport. It's the most grueling sport athletically. Like, why should they have to worry about money?
Yeah.
You know, a comfortable upper middle class salary worth of show and win bonuses.
Right. Like why can't they make bottom dollar 40 grand, 50 grand, something like that at least.
Yeah, 45 grand a fight.
Yeah. Cuz boxers, the appeal behind boxing and other sports and even pro wrestling as a combat sports athlete is the money. Boxing is corrupt bullshit. If you have a good record, you're never going to fight anybody else with a good record until you're like 40-0 and shit like that. Bud Crawford. it's a fucking terrible sport to be a fan of. But
yeah,
at the same time, the internet wave of fighting with the KSIs of the world and who's that other guy? His name Jake. Jacob Paula Deen.
And you see every UFC fighter wants to go box now because of the money.
I mean, so that stuff's kind of legitimate though. Those like celebrities and stuff like that are boxing each other, the way KSI runs their promotions and stuff. That's like, okay, these guys are getting paid a good dollar. They're all making like at least 40 grand and they're not getting like fucked unless you're in a social gloves card, which is, I don't know if anybody knows about the social gloves cards with Austin McBroom and shit like that.
I have no clue, but
So that was like a whole scam. Like fighters weren't getting paid, but with some of these promotions, and that's just the bullshit behind boxing. But you see these celebrity boxing cards come out, and they do quite well, pretty fucking good. And they're not like how boxing is.
I would be willing to bet that more people watch Jake Paul versus Anderson Silva than Fury Chisora.
Yeah. I mean, which sucks to say. I'd rather watch Tyson murdered Chisora all day, but I mean, at least we're getting Fury Usyk, hopefully.
Don't know. Okay. We Crawford beat Sean Porter and we were all like, okay, Crawford Spence, it's happening. We're just going to have to get the contract signed. And then it waited a year and they were like, nope, it's actually not happening.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, can't wait for Fury Usyk in April. And I'm like, ah, good luck.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Good luck, boxing.
That's
fans.
The worst part of boxing.
I'm not among you. So best of luck, guys.
Yeah.
And hope you have a great time watching Fury. Let me think. Who will they pull in to fight him? Fury Dillian White.
Yeah,
5.
Dillian White 5. or Wilder will come back and it'll be Fury Wilder 4.
Well, who is it? Fury is campaigning for Wilder to get the Joshua fight, and I'm kind of thankful for him for that because I think that would be a fun fight.
You know, I think that fight is more likely to happen than Fury Usyk.
I agree, because I think Joshua actually is hungry and Wilder is hungry. Yeah. I don't think Fury's hungry at all.
That's what happens when you get the L's.
To be hungry.
When you catch an L, you're like, fuck it, I'll just fight. Who cares? I already fucking lost. Make my money.
So anything else in the James Krause stuff? I really hope, I guess this will be how I close it. I hope that none of the fighters are sanctioned for this. Like I hope that Derek Minner doesn't see consequences for his coach knowing about a pre-existing injury and exploiting it. Unless, and I don't have any information about this, obviously, but unless Derek Minner took a cut intentionally to throw the fight, then I would be super fucking worried about the state of the UFC. But like, as long as he didn't have any untoward motivations going into the fight and he just wanted to go out there and try his best with a blown out knee, like, I hope that there's no comeback on the fighters, no blowback on them.
Absolutely.
But fuck James Krause, get him out of here. Yeah.
I do want to say I kind of sympathize with James Krause a little bit in that UFC fighters don't make shit.
And coaches make 10% of what the fighters
make.
And they don't even make
anything either. We really got to see a pay increase in the UFC. Cut these bullshit like fighters that you wouldn't pay $40,000 then like a fight.
Well,
like cut out
no, but
cut out
but
cut
here's
out
the
like
thing.
The 100 people that barely fucking fight and like. That fight like once a year or whatever, or that you know that aren't going to get anywhere.
Well, not even this, right? So the UFC roster is about the same size as the NBA roster.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit smaller, maybe a little bit bigger. I don't know, but it's around the same size. UFC positions itself as one of these major sports in America, right? NFL athletes make 51% of all revenue. I believe MLB athletes make 51%. NBA athletes make 51%. UFC athletes, and this is public because Endeavor, their financials are public. It's a publicly
traded
company.
It's like 17%.
Right? I believe UFC 13. Athletes make 8%.
Oh, it's 8, right. It is 8.
I believe they
eight.
Make 8%
it is
of
eight.
All revenue.
Because of the pay-per-view increase.
Just pay your fighters.
Yeah. It's because of the pay-per-view increase. It used to be 13,
exactly.
Then it became 8. Yeah.
Yep. Just pay your fighters.
Like 20%. They're your product, and they deserve it, man. Like, and then you won't have shit like this happen. You'll probably have better fighters come into the UFC because they can focus more on it. You know what
better
I mean?
Better prospects, prospects right now. They're going to one.
Right.
They're going to Bellator.
And why shouldn't they? Because they're paying right. more. The only thing that's good about the UFC right now is the PI to like counter this issue. Like, yeah, you can go there, you can get free fucking PT and train there for free and not have to worry about
it.
There's
PI
coaches
rules.
There with the nutrition. Awesome move. Just pay the fighters more though too. Bring back like sponsorships or stuff like that. If you don't want to bring out like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let them get sponsors and then approve like, okay, let's not get Condom Depot on this guy's ass again. Like, yeah, sure. I get that. You want it to be professional.
Right, but we already have, you know, we have Monster shorts. We have Crypto.com shorts.
Yeah. Like you
just put like slap a DraftKings logo on there for the one time and pay your guys.
Yeah. Like, I think it would just benefit the sport because you wouldn't have bullshit like this happening. You would have happier fighters, healthier fighters. And
yep.
Dana White says, oh, this isn't a career. And what we do with the platform is really big for the fighters. He's right. he's right. He's totally right. I don't disagree with Dana White on that. But I also think that it's actually not Dana White that's making that decision. I think he's kind of forced to kind of back Nick Maynard and Sean Shelby on that.
And Endeavor, the giant faceless right. corporation of Endeavor, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really what has to do with it. And Dana White is the face, so he has to agree with –
Yep.
Because back then, the fighters were making six figures a fight because of all their sponsorships. And that was because Dana White was like, yeah, we should keep the sponsorships in there. And I get making it look more professional totally, but you just got to
want to have a uniform like the NFL and the NBA,
which is totally,
places.
Totally cool. Right. Mm-hmm. But I think it should be a little bit custom on in terms of the fighter, like what the fighter wants too, like because you right. get different sports teams.
It took Adesanya being one of the best fighters of all time for him to get green champion shorts.
Yeah. Like you don't have to be fucking like just this completely strict. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to see that as a fan. I want to see some flair. It's a show, right? It's entertainment.
And no one is watching Bellator and complaining about someone wearing black shorts with all their sponsors on their ass. Like, well, no one cares.
To be
no
fair,
is mad about it.
Nobody's watching Bellator. To be fair.
Listen, I watched 25 minutes.
I watch
of,
it too.
Usman Nurmagomedov beating up.
I watched Bellator
Pitbull.
Too, but yeah, who else? Who else watches Bellator? I can't name anybody besides you that I know that watches Bellator.
Speaking of who else watches Bellator, who else watched this UFC Orlando fight?
Oh, that was a great card.
I fell asleep before.
It was a great card. You missed out. You missed out on such a good card.
I have the DVI or whatever it is, the recording of it, and I'm going to go watch it after we're done recording. But I did watch the highlights. Wonderboy.
Yeah, Wonderboy had a fantastic performance.
Love it.
Love seeing it. It's been a while since we've seen him fight like that. Been a while.
He's like 37, 38.
Yeah.
My dude wrecked a younger, harder-hitting striker, and it wasn't close.
Nope.
And I just want to shout out because I saw the highlights of the fight. I saw Wonderboy piecing him up, and I was not expecting that fight to end with the corner throwing in the towel for Kevin Holland. I think that was really smart. I think we need to see more of that in the UFC. I think corner men need to protect their fighters more because, you know, that fifth round would have just been more of him getting pieced up if not finished, and he didn't need that. Like, yeah. There was no outcome in which he wins.
Mm-hmm.
So... What do you know? Save your fighter some damage. Throw in the towel. But yeah, what did you think? Because you actually watched it.
I thought it was a masterful performance by Stephen Thompson. I think it was definitely a coming to a returning fight kind of thing. Like we haven't seen Stephen. Yeah. I haven't seen Stephen Thompson strike like that in a hot minute. It's been a hot minute. It's crazy because you see a lot of these UFC fighters get older, like Tony Ferguson and these wild sort of uncanny fighters. They just crumble because they don't have those basic skills to rely on. And I think Stephen Thompson is the perfect example of what you should do as a veteran fighter. Stick to your skills, stick to your basics. And you'll still be able to fight well into your, you know, whatever, past your prime. And it's possible, man. I mean, we've seen in UFC's heyday, Randy Couture make a comeback at 40 years old and win a heavyweight title. Yeah.
I don't see Stephen Thompson doing that in the wrestleweight division.
Yeah, I don't see him winning a title either. But he certainly could. Before I either think it's a fighter can win a title or can't. I think Stephen Thompson could. There's matchups for him that I think might be favorable. So but it's all about whether or not they even that person's even the champion at the time. Because the most – you're going to have Colby, you're going to have Chimaev, or Usman as a champion in the next
Edwards.
2 years. Or Edwards. Edwards, for me, is the most favorable matchup for Stephen Thompson.
Right, but even Edwards is going to reach for a takedown.
Right, but
and I think from what I've heard in terms of you know, coverage and from watching the highlights, it seemed like Thompson was so easy and free with the striking because there was no shot of Kevin Holland going for his legs.
Well, I think there's also something to be said about the confidence that builds with a performance that.
Yeah,
maybe you're less likely to flinch on a takedown, you know.
Mm.
Who knows? This is all speculative. I could be totally wrong, but I think if Leon Edwards is the champ and Stephen Thompson is the right guy at the right time, he totally could win a title. Is he likely to? No, but that's just my opinion on Stephen Thompson right now. I think he's really, really pushed himself to the same level he was at when he was fighting the Woodleys of the world. Even the Darren Tills, I thought his performance against Darren Till wasn't actually that bad. I thought that fight was too hard to call, personally. It was way too hard to call, just because of how razor fucking thin that decision was. Like watching the Darren Till fight, it was a chess match. Maybe not aged that well, because unfortunately Darren Till has been having a little bit of a struggle lately, but. I don't know. It really just says something about Stephen Thompson. I've always liked his fighting style. I just think it's so cool that he fights one way as a lefty and then another way as a righty. I don't know if you've ever seen
that. Yeah, that rules.
Yeah, like so he's a real front leg heavy kicker when he's in his southpaw stance. And you see him like whip those hook kicks, those push kicks more with that front kick. Yeah. And then when he's in his right hand stance, he could do the same thing for sure. But you see him just throwing his fucking hands.
Well, and I think also to touch on your point about aging gracefully as a fighter, a lot of these crazy guys, the wild men of the divisions, you know, like the Tony Fergusons and stuff, they start training Imanari rolls and trips and all these crazy little wild moves. And Stephen Thompson was a karateka with pretty bad hands. And he's just been spending all his time working on better hands.
Yeah.
And now he's a good boxer.
Yeah. And it's like, and it's all basic.
He was a shit boxer when he entered the UFC. And now he's just a good boxer.
Yeah.
That's what he spent his time learning how to do.
Right. Yeah.
And honing his skills that are already elite. And getting good boxing and getting good takedown defense. Mm-hmm. And now he's effective enough to beat anyone outside the top 10 of his division with ease.
Yeah, right.
So he will be a top 10 fighter, I think, until his chin completely gives out. Because obviously that was the big factor in this, was he was bloodied up. I think afterwards he said his hand was broken in addition to both of Holland's hands being broken. But like, as long as his chin holds up to getting cracked like that, I think he can be elite. In terms of like top 10, top 5 for a long time.
Listen, when you're eating shots from Kevin Holland and you're not going to sleep, I think that just
it's
takes
very impressive.
That
especially takes Kevin Holland at welterweight.
I'm not questioning
he's just
his
starching
chin.
Fools.
I'm not personally. I'm not one of those people that questions Thompson's chin. The cut happened. The cut here happened on a headbutt.
I agree. I completely agree with you. I'm saying that's when his eliteness will fade
away.
Oh,
yeah, for sure.
Eventually, everyone's chin goes, but I don't think that's the limiting factor right now, for sure.
Yeah.
He was taking shots from Gilbert. He was taking shots from, you know, you name it, Jeff Neal, all these guys who are starching fools now, you know, like Vicente Luque, Jorge Masvidal. He's taking shots from all of these guys who are, you know, the knockout artists of the division and he didn't go to sleep.
Yeah, and just how
Anthony
fit.
Pettis though.
Oh yeah, except for Anthony, that was crazy. The fact that he was the one to knock Thompson out is kind of.
It's always the one you don't see coming.
Yeah, well, I think it's just apropos because he had the Showtime kick on Benson Henderson, who at the time was like, "Whoa, he's a really good striker, like best striker in the world." And he just kicked him, and that was it. Superman punch off the fence. Oh, this guy's a really good striker. Bop. You know, so yeah. But no, Stephen Thompson, that guy's just fit too. I think that also has to do with chin health.
He lives in the gym.
Yeah, he's real fit. And it's hard to knock out somebody that's real fit because you can flash him, but you're not putting him to sleep unless you're really catching him off guard.
No.
And you're not really going to catch him off guard unless you're Anthony Pettis. Shout out Anthony Pettis. Shout out Anthony.
Yeah. 1-3 in PFL or something like that. Didn't he just rematch the guy he lost to and lost again?
I think
he got twistered and then he rematched him. And I think he lost by decision.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Oof.
We got some other notable wins on that card though, for sure.
Yeah.
We got RDA picking up a nice little arm triangle off of Ryan Barberina.
Yep, I think RDA is gonna be elite, and it's another guy like that. Except RDA has the belt to match the pedigree.
So I see him more of as like a top seven for the rest of his career until he gets old.
Yeah, I think him and Wonderboy are in the same.
Yeah,
maybe that's the fight to make.
RDA Wonderboy. That would be wild. Yeah. I wonder if McGregor RDA is going to happen at any point, because there's a lot.
I don't think McGregor ever gives him the satisfaction personally.
Yeah, but I just don't know if Conor comes back and fights and wants to fight, unless it's Volkanovski for a title. I think he wants.
Yeah, I don't know.
The fight to make with Conor is Masvidal, but anyways.
We have
Pavlovich. He knocked out our boy.
Big boys. I watched the full fight because the full fight was just the highlight.
60 seconds.
Yeah. Pavlovich, it's really weird. And a couple people noted this beforehand, and a couple people noted this after the hand, after the fight. Pavlovich has the longest reach in the UFC, tied with John Jones. I think he has an 82-inch reach. His shots are big looping right angle punches. So he's literally handicapping his own advantage of the reach. He doesn't have a jab. He doesn't have a right straight. He doesn't have a left straight. He just throws big looping hooks to make his reach shorter. But he still knocked Ty Tuivasa out. Yeah. So I guess I don't know what to complain about. It was cool. Tuivasa looked shell-shocked afterwards because I think he's used to... I watched it and I was like, oh, here's Ty Tuivasa getting knocked down and getting up again and throwing back. Oh, he'll probably catch him here. And his luck kind of ran out.
Yeah.
Where he's so used to those fights going his way where he gets knocked down and clipped and then he's like, oh, shit, I'm back in it and hits him back harder and puts the other guy down. And it didn't happen. It didn't go his way this time. Sucks. I do want to talk about another man on the card. Georgian Chad Roman Dolidze. Racking up another win. I believe he is now the number seven middleweight in the UFC.
Yeah, that was wild. The way that he like calf sliced his leg, but from when he was on his stomach, like,
yeah,
and then just
the guy rules.
Like, that was crazy.
Yeah,
like, how the hell did that happen?
Like, listen, watching the highlight, you can hear the ref go, "Move, Jack," and Jack is like, "I'm trying." But he's just, it's like a mounted crucifix position where there's just like, he literally can't intelligently defend himself.
That's
even like he's fully awake.
That's a checkmate. You rarely see that stuff in the UFC. And when you do, it's like, wow. Like, you forget that you can do that to somebody because you know what I mean? Like, you can just fucking trap their arm, crucifix them, and just keep punching. And if they're not moving, that's the fight. Even if they're not out, not getting hurt. It's just, literally. You will literally just sit there and keep punching them. And it's like, yeah, you would just literally just keep punching him until he went out.
Yep.
That's the fight. That's done.
I believe this is the fourth finish for Roman Dolidze this year. He's kind of on a run.
Ooh.
Yeah, spicy. Finished Phil Hodge twice, and I'm only counting one of those, but he ripped his knee apart and then he TKO'd him. But for some reason, Big Dan didn't stop the fight when Phil Hawes' knee was ripped apart. He waited until he literally was on one leg and got TKO'd. And then I believe Roman Dolidze finished Kyle Daukaus. And I'm not sure who he finished before that. But he's kind of on a run. And I'm interested to see him take a step up. Obviously, Cannonier is booked against Strickland. But Derek Brunson was supposed to fight Jack Hermanson. If Derek Brunson is ready, obviously Roman Dolidze didn't take a whole lot of damage in this fight because he came out of it still looking like Chad. Maybe he can fight Derek Brunson in January or February.
It's a fun
or something
fight.
Like that.
That's a fun fight.
Fun fight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be a good fight. My highlight of the card is going to be Philip Rowe knocking out Nico. I thought his striking looked really good in this fight. I thought he was utilizing his range really good. Fighting Nico Price, it's harder than what a lot of people think. Those pressure strikers are so fucking annoying to deal with. And I would know because I'm one of them. I annoy the shit out of people. Nico Price annoys the shit out of people. Not like as a person, just in the ring. I thought Philip Rowe did a pretty good job. It was a pretty.
So how did he counteract the pressure? I completely ignored this fight. I didn't even watch the highlights for it.
I mean, you just kind of saw him kind of fake into range, hop back out, let Nico come in, and then meet him with a counter, and then just kind of circle. Just that sort of thing.
That's cool.
I thought he did pretty good. By no means this, you know, amazing fighter or whatever, but somebody to keep your eye on, Philip Rowe. I see him becoming sick. a contender in the future. Beating Nico Price is a pretty good name on your resume, and we'll see where he goes from there.
A lot of guys who become elite, they start beating the guys like Nico Price.
Yeah, true.
I have another highlight, but it's outside of the UFC.
Oh, I thought it was going to be your boy Eric Anders.
No, shout out to him.
Yeah, shout out to him with the best name in the UFC. Yeah, your boy.
Yeah,
picking up a knockout win as well.
He got another win.
Fucked up Dawkins, dude. Damn. Yeah. Fucked him up.
I want to talk about Roberto Robocop getting kicked in the soul dick. My boy, I hyped him up. I was so ready. I was telling all my friends, guys, you got to tune into one. Guys, and somehow one is just cursed with these fucking fights. One is cursed with these, impressive prospect. No decision. every time without
Robocop
fail.
Robocop kicked in his soul dick.
The soul dick, yeah. Eddie Alvarez, no contest via whatever that was, like strikes to the back of the head or whatever fuck happened when he debuted in one. Sage Northcutt doesn't exist. Sage Northcutt is a segment of all of our imaginations.
He died.
Yeah.
Cosmo. Cosmo. What's his last name? Cosmo. Oh, fuck. I forget what his last name
is. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I can picture fucking him in a stupid haircut.
Fucking destroyed Sage Northcutt.
Yeah.
What is he even doing? Oh, he's going to engineering school. Right. He's in engineering school.
That's crazy. About that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I hate it here. Apparently they're going to rematch that fight soon. Jesus Christ. And you know what's crazy? Chatri came out after the fight, the guy who runs one, and he was like, yeah, kind of ridiculous that Roberto Soldic's his cup wasn't good enough. I'm like, you give them the cups. What do you mean? He said it's made of hard foam or something like that, not steel. It's like, isn't that like your job as a promotion is to equip the fighters? No,
it would I think it's the athletic commissions. Well,
okay,
but that's United States. It could be
no. It's not United States. It's Singapore.
Yeah,
stop
so
holding
be,
these fucking events in Singapore.
Well, I'm saying it would be different in Singapore. So it might be the promoter that brings up the cup. I don't know.
Chatri acting real Singapore right now. Anyway, and also Renier de Ritter went up to heavyweight to try to become triple champ and got knocked the fuck out because he doesn't have hands. I don't know why anyone was surprised that he was unable to grapple someone who had 40 pounds on him.
Mm.
But that's just the way life goes. He is still double champ.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
He lost and he is still double champion. That's insane.
We saw Michael Johnson also pick up a win. Shout out Michael Johnson.
21-18 all time record, I believe.
Yeah.
He's barely not 500.
Yeah. I thought Mark Jacasey actually looked pretty solid in this fight.
He expected to win. I didn't watch the fight, so I can't say either way who I think deserved it, but I'm happy that Michael Johnson got it because I have hated every other Mark Jacasey fight that I've watched.
Yeah, Mark, he's
so boring.
Yeah, but you see a lot of these fighters kind of turn it around the older they get, which is weird. I don't know I'm not saying that Mark Jacasey is going to be that guy or anything, but Michael Johnson is that guy. He's racking
Manning
up wins.
Eli Manning of the UFC.
He's
barely above
wins.
500, but he can beat anyone on a given day. Yeah. Beat Edson Barbosa, beat Tony Ferguson, beat Dustin Poirier. Crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts. That's nuts. Oh.
Okay.
I don't have anybody I want to shout out to.
Cool.
Yeah. No.
I think there's probably another one card coming up. I heard that the Superbond fight had to get rescheduled again. The Superbond versus the guy's name is really fun to say. I'm gonna escape out of Discord real quick to actually look it up because I know that I'm gonna remember it and it's fun to say. Chingiz Alazov. There we go. Yeah, that had to get rescheduled to January. So I'm excited for that because Superbond had knockout of the year last year, but I don't know. The other one news is that they're definitely not a money laundering corporation still.
Definitely not.
Excellent. Love that for them.
Not at all.
Yeah.
$10 million down the drain? Well, how much
doesn't
was it?
Doesn't matter.
Was it 10 mil?
It was significant.
It was a lot of money. That.
It was 10 or more million dollars. Yeah.
not a money sink. Not a money sink.
UFC 282?
Yeah. Let's start on the bottom of the card for this one. We got we got a lot of solid fights on this card.
I have ones that I want to talk about that are like the opening prelim.
Yeah. Well, you go.
Well, I don't know the early prelims. I think the opening prelim is hot. But the early prelims, just run through it. Let's start at the bottom and go all the way up.
All right. Yeah. So, I'll tell you what, the bottom four fights or the bottom three, I don't really know who the fuck they are. But we start out. Look, so let's start out with Alexander versus Billy Quarantillo.
That fight rules.
Yeah. That fight rules. That's a pretty good fight.
That fight is Quarantillo has never been boring.
Right. This is going to be Alex.
Is sick.
Well, it's going to be a featherweight.
Oh
yeah,
I mean, I'm interested to see how that goes.
Yeah, Alex Hernandez, I think, is making his featherweight debut.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with that. But
can he make the weight? Because his whole thing at lightweight was being huge.
Yeah, he was big, but he was short.
Right.
He was a short lightweight.
I guess he just has to stop lifting.
I guess.
Okay. I mean, I'll be interested to see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. That's going to be Alex a fun Hernandez, fight.
Alex Hernandez has been win-loss since the Cerrone fight. He has been alternating wins and losses for 3 years now.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
if that pattern continues, then he's going to win.
Yeah.
Because he's coming off a loss at UFC 271.
That's going to be a fun fight. I don't love Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Quarantillo
really
and Hernandez.
Quarantillo wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like them both. I think Quarantillo makes I think he gets it done. Decision. Yeah. I think it'll be a dog fight, though. I think it'll be a little bit of a dog fight. And if it is, he's gonna beat Hernandez 100%.
Yep. The one that I really want to talk about is the next fight on the card.
Oh,
Chris Curtis, Joaquin Buckley.
This is gonna be
rules.
Yeah, this fight absolutely rules.
So Billy Quarantillo, Alexander Hernandez, that's the featured early prelim. Chris Curtis, Joaquin Buckley is the opening prelim.
I'm excited to actually watch Chris Curtis fight. I've never watched him fight yet.
Really?
No, I think I've missed every single one of his fights.
That's really cool. I highly recommend you go back and look at his stuff because he is a boxer of a UFC fighter.
Yeah.
Like his whole thing is really crisp striking. Although he's kind of an idiot sometimes. Like, Jack Hermanson literally just circled the wrong way, and Chris Curtis had no fucking idea what to do.
Well, where is he circling towards?
He was circling circling towards Chris Curtis's lead hand.
The lead hand?
Yeah, and Chris Curtis didn't know, or his lead side, and Chris Curtis just did not know how to react the entire time.
Well, to be fair, in boxing, you always move towards your opponent's rear hand.
Yeah, and Chris Curtis did not know how to deal.
That's probably why.
Adjustments that he could make. Yeah, he was very mad about it too.
Yeah,
he was like yelling at Jack Hermanson afterwards. He also
go the other way.
He was in Roman Dolidze's corner and talking shit to Jack Hermanson at UFC Orlando. He just was like, "Let me tag along so that I can fucking yell at Jack Hermanson because I hate this dude for going the wrong direction in our fight."
That's so
really
funny.
A grudge holder.
That's
I love
so
to see
funny.
It.
Chris Curtis.
But I think that is really fun. They're basically little muscle balls.
Yeah.
Like Chris Curtis and Joaquin Buckley.
Chris Curtis starches 5'10". Buckley though.
No, Joaquin Buckley is 5'8".
Yeah.
Chris Curtis is 5'10". I agree that Chris Curtis.
Curtis starches him. I think it's going to be a second round finish or something like that.
I think it'll be super fun, however it goes.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for this fight.
That's going to be one of my parlays, is going to be Chris Curtis knockout.
Love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll keep that on the betting tab. Next up, Edmund Shahbazyan, Dalcha Lungiambu.
Luigi! Dalcha Luigi.
Let's see if Dalcha has any wins or if we can just call him a Luigi.
Is he a Luigi? I'm pretty sure he is a Luigi.
So he is on a 3-fight losing streak and he has lost 4 of his last 5.
He is 2-4 in the UFC.
Yeah, he sure is. God, that sucks.
Yeah. Does he? Does he though? Like, I don't know. I don't know if Edmund can win a fucking fight anymore. I honestly don't.
To be fair, he ran into three wrestle fuckers in a row. Like Derek Brunson, Jack Hermanson, and Imavov are all guys who will just like put you on the canvas and fuck your life up and make you have a terrible day.
Well, when the book's out on you, the book's out on you.
But do we think that Mr. Luigi can capitalize on the book? Do we think that Luigi is that skilled?
I'll tell you what, it sure as hell is easier for him to do it now.
I'm not willing to shit on someone who beat Brad Tavares. I'm willing to give Edmund the benefit of the doubt. However, with his coach, anything is possible because Tarverdian is just a fucking fraud.
He's a fucking idiot. I hate that guy. Yeah, he's hate that guy. I'm not betting on this fight. Personally,
yeah, me neither. It'll stay away from Tarverdian at all times.
Yeah, same. Next fight. Ooh, I'm excited for this one. Yeah, we got the new kid on the block.
Jay Luigi.
We got the new kid on the block going against Luigi. Where does Jay Perrin go in on the tier list? That's what we got to predict. Does he go in in S tier? Does he put up a good fight against Raul Rosas?
I very much doubt it. And also, he doesn't. I believe it's Raul Rosas because he's Mexican. Yeah, he's Mexican.
Oh, Raul Rosas. Okay.
Not Brazilian.
Rosas.
But
it's Rosas, not Rosas.
I think Rosas wins. I think that he is pretty impressive for being so young. I don't think that he's going to make some sort of incredible run to the top immediately. I think he obviously needs some work. I hope he trains at a good gym or begins training at a good gym soon because I get, you know, you're starching dudes at UWC Mexico and then getting one win on the contender series. But like he trains at 10th Planet. Fun. Okay.
That move just happened, by the way. I was going to tell you after you're done saying.
Oh,
he just moved. I think he just moved to that gym. After he went on a contender series and got the fight, I don't think it's his actual gym. I just think it's where he's training for it.
That's cool. And it's in Vegas, so we know he's kind of smart. He's picking a local gym to go train at. He's also picking his weakness because I think his jiu-jitsu was clearly the weakest part of his game.
Really? You think so? I think his grappling is definitely his strongest, I thought.
Well, his grappling, yes. The wrestling and everything is crazy, but I don't think he knows how to finish. And I think 10th Planet, like, you know, if there's anything that what's his fucking name? I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. The 10th Planet.
Eddie Bravo.
Guy, Eddie Bravo. If there's anything Eddie Bravo knows how to do, it's teach people how to finish.
Yeah. Eddie Bravo. Shout out Eddie Bravo. Guy.
So I will pick. Guy thinks the earth is flat, though. Yeah. I'll pick Raul Rosas by buggy choke. I think that Eddie Bravo will have been teaching him the buggy or like the X guard or something, and he'll get some sort of crazy submission.
I think you have Raul Rosas by new Eddie Bravo flat earth choke.
All right, just pretend his skull is two-dimensional.
Yeah.
Go.
The flat earth choke.
My favorite clip of Eddie Bravo is when he's on Joe Rogan and he slips his meniscus live. And he's sitting there and his knee is out of its socket and the tissue is completely dislocated and fucked up. And he's like sitting there seething in pain. And Joe Rogan is commentating his meniscus injury to the other podcast guest. He's like, see, what's happening here is Eddie Bravo has a lineal tear of his meniscus, and he's going to try to navigate the knee back into its socket. And Eddie Bravo is just like turning red. This is beautiful. Go watch it if you guys haven't seen it before.
Oh, I got to see that clip. It's so beautiful. I got to see that clip.
I'll message it to you. That would probably be
the most Joe Rogan thing I've ever heard in my life.
He like goes to sit up and bumps his ankle against the desk weird, and it sends his leg out of, you know, like it fucks something up in his knee. And Joe Rogan just like calmly commentates the entire procedures.
He's got the UFC color commentary. Oh, he's putting it back in. Oh!
I would love that.
Slapped him! You know?
All right, next on the card, Biggie Boy versus Philly Cop.
Biggie Boy by Murder.
On this one?
Biggie Boy by Murder.
I agree.
Shout out to Biggie Boy Music. I haven't listened to it yet. I still got to listen to it.
He rules.
That's a callback to episode 4.
And Chris Daukus, officially the worst Daukus brother, I think.
I don't know, bro. They're both doing pretty bad right now.
Yeah, but at least Kyle's not a cop.
True.
Bryce Mitchell, Mr. Thug Nasty, versus they had to escort Patty Pimblett out the back door, Ilya Topuria. I have one question for you, Seth.
Sure.
How will Spain's loss to Morocco today in the World Cup affect Spanish national Ilya Topuria's prospects in this weekend's fight?
I think the more important question is to ask, where does Kevin Lee fit into all of this?
Personally. He's waiting in the wings.
Personally. I actually don't know how to call this fight. So hard for me to say. Hard for me to answer the question. I don't know how to call this fight. I'm leaning more towards a Topuria win, to be honest. I think Topuria has performed better or looked better than Bryce Mitchell has. And Bryce Mitchell's a good fighter. It's nothing against Bryce Mitchell. That's just
my
opinion.
Well, I think that Ilya Topuria and Bryce Mitchell, I think the problem is that they faced about equal levels of competition. Like, I would say that Bryce Mitchell's best win is the Edson Barboza one. And then, you know, that was after 2 years of not fighting. Ilya Topuria has been active relatively, like, I don't know, averaging two fights a year. But his best win is a little bit worse, the Ryan Hall win, I would say. I don't know. Obviously, Ilya Topuria more of a striker. Obviously, Bryce Mitchell more of a decision wrestler. But I don't know. I think that Bryce Mitchell has more opportunities to control the fight. The only thing is we haven't really seen his chin tested because the one fight against someone who had really hard-hitting power, Edson really couldn't land on him.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. I don't really know how to call it. I definitely won't be placing any money on it or anything like that really with any real confidence.
Yeah,
but
no.
I am very excited to see it. I think whoever comes out of this fight is immediately a contender in that murderer's row of 6 to 12 of featherweight, where it's like them, Arnold Allen, like all these guys in a row who are ready to go. Give the winner of this, Calvin Kattar's out
for Emmett.
A while. Josh Emmett is fighting for the interim belt in February. He's fighting Yair.
Right, forgot about that.
Future interim champion Josh Emmett.
No, you think he beats Yair? No.
No, but we're living in the darkest time.
Oh, you're so right. You're
I
right.
I know how it's going to go. Josh Emmett by Yair's elbow completely broke like halfway through the first round.
Yeah.
with our luck. Darren Till, Dricus du Plessis.
Darren Till, Dricus du Plessis. Also a hard fight for me to call. I think this is going to be a comeback fight for Till.
I think it's actually easy. You just have to fall on one side or the other of how good you think Darren Till still is.
I think that's what's confusing for me, though.
I'm picking Dricus du Plessis.
I think I'm going to go Till, but that's under the mindset that he's going to come back and he's going to be really good, that he's going to be sharp. Dricus du Plessis, really good striker, though. So
yeah,
this is going to be a boring fight. You already know this could be a boring ass fight.
Knocked out Roberto Soldic.
This could be a boring ass fight because what's going to happen is Till Plessis is going to be like, okay, all Till is a left hand. Okay. And then he's going to get stung and then it's going to be a boring fight from there on.
Yeah, I agree.
And then Plessis is going to take Till down. And then Till win the decision? I don't know. Probably not.
Foreshadowing, I think this event is going to be really boring in general.
Oh, hot take.
After Chris Curtis, Joaquin Buckley, which I think is fight of the night, if everything goes the way I see it going in my mind's eye, the entire main card is a decision fest.
Interesting.
So I'll break down my logic as we go through it. But
yeah, sure.
Bryce Mitchell, Ilya Topuria, I think Bryce Mitchell controls that fight more likely, and Bryce Mitchell can't finish people unless they really stink.
Yeah.
And
I don't have a pick
Bryce
for that
Mitchell
fight.
By decision.
That's a razor thin.
If I had to put money on it, it would be Bryce Mitchell, but I won't.
Right.
Darren Till doesn't knock out Dricus du Plessis. Dricus du Plessis doesn't knock out Darren Till.
Yeah, exactly. That's
neither
how I feel.
Of them know how to grapple for shit.
That's
so
how
it's going to be
too.
A decision. Santiago Ponzinibbio could have knocked out Robbie Lawler. But Robbie Lawler's not fighting him. It's Alex Morono, whose chin is made of solid granite. So, decision. Because I don't see Ponzi getting knocked out either.
Well, do you know...
Morono's hands don't work.
Do you know what weight this event is at? Or the fight?
I believe it is a catch weight of 175 or 180.
Yeah?
So,
could be a barn burner. These guys are not going to be as hungry, you know, like food wise. They're not going to be cutting weight.
That's true.
They're both welterweights. Well, actually, Morono is a, he's a lightweight, isn't he?
He fought Cerrone. He fought Cerrone at welterweight.
Okay, so he's a welterweight.
It was when Cerrone decided to be a welterweight for a while.
Right. Okay. All right.
Yep. And then Paddy Pimblett versus I'm not even looking at it. Who is he fighting?
Oh, he's fighting Jared Gordon.
Jared Gordon, that's a decision, I think. I mean, Jared Gordon is too decent to not get finished. I know you're picking Jared Gordon in this. Am I mistaken?
I'm not going to pick this fight. I do think this is not going to be on my parlay. So my parlay is going to be Biggie Boy, Jan Blachowicz, and Chris Curtis. We're getting to
the final fight, which is, I think Ankalaev wrestle fucks him and can't finish him.
I'm not picking Paddy Pimblett and Jared Gordon. If I were to put money on it, I'm putting money on Jared Gordon. Jared Gordon's a good striker.
Okay. Yeah, I don't care either way. The Paddy Pimblett show is the most boring thing on earth to me. So
you know what? It isn't really that interesting, is it? There's a lot of people that are like, oh yeah, this guy's the next Conor and this and that, and it's like, not really.
The reason Conor was so cool is he was starching fools.
Yeah,
like he was fucking people up. Paddy Pimblett gets rocked and then wrestles you.
Yeah,
that's so, like, it's the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know.
Jared Gordon's a fun. He's a fun fighter though. He's gonna come in and try to take this kid's head off, which I think.
I agree.
I don't think he's going to sleep, Paddy. I think Paddy's got a chin. Paddy's got a fucking chin.
Well, I mean, yeah, he got cracked by Luigi.
Yeah, who is an S-tier Luigi.
We all know how hard-hitting Luigi is.
Literally the Luigi tier list that he was named after for Luigi. Yeah.
It's so sad A-tier. That Luigi isn't even...
He's not even S-tier. He's not even
the best Luigi.
He's not even the best. He's an A-tier Luigi. Low A, top B. Damn. But Jared Gordon... who is not a Luigi. This is going to be a fun fight. It is going to be a fun fight.
Has beaten other fighters.
Yeah. And actually doesn't have a bad record to his name. 19-5. He's coming off a win to fucking Leonardo Santos. Who the fuck is that guy? No idea. Yeah. But you see a loss to Charles Oliveira by punches. There's a notable loss. Yeah, no notable
beat
wins.
Bill Algeo. Yeah, fun little scalp on his record. Yeah. Bill Algeo is a good win.
True. Beat Joe Selecki. Selecki's not bad. Yeah. No. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I don't know. Hard to say.
Yeah.
And then I'm not sold on Paddy yet, so maybe he wins this fight. And
Let's talk about the main event. Jiří Procházka versus Glover Teixeira. Yes, I am still living in denial. Jiří Procházka, with his two healthy shoulders and four healthy limbs, will read the book of five rings to Glover Teixeira so many times that Glover Teixeira has a brain aneurysm and is knocked out. Wait, there's another title fight happening instead of that? What?
It's just Jiří. It's just Jiří. Okay. Jiří Teixeira.
All right,
why don't we pick that fight just for fun? It was supposed to happen.
Healthy Jiří versus healthy Glover.
Yeah.
Jiří. Why are you asking me my opinion on this? Jiří.
We got professional Jiří Procházka, Mark.
Yeah, literally. I'm
John Jones could be
Anchor
fighting Jiří, and you're still picking Jiří.
Unironically, yes.
Two John Joneses could be fighting Jiří, and you're like, nope, Jiří, all day.
That's where it gets a little risky. Are the two John Joneses on the same side?
One is heavyweight and one is light heavyweight. So one's pre-cocaine and one's after cocaine.
And what weight class does Jiří have to weigh in at?
Whatever he wants.
Oh, Jiří.
Oh, Jiří all day.
Jiří will become the densest man.
He doesn't get USADA at his door for the whole fight.
Oh, sick.
So he just comes in.
Tested, like,
he comes in, literally
days.
Becomes fucking Super Saiyan from the fucking fucking like ancient PEDs that he found in the dirt somewhere.
Oh, I would love it.
Fucking made a steroid out of like some fucking ancient mineral that he found in a cave while he was reciting like the first couple paragraphs to
Book of Five Rings. He read the Book of Five Rings backwards and it taught him how to manipulate his blood chemistry and his endocrine system to generate more testosterone naturally. All right, actual main event, which is way worse. Jan Blachowicz, Magomed Ankalaev.
Jan Blachowicz by finish.
The name of the pay-per-view should be, how many belts are we going to let these fucking Dagestanis get? Because this is just like, I don't know. I think Ankalaev, his chin is insane. There has to be something in their beards to where their chins are this good. I love Jan. He is a countryman of mine. I am part Polish. However, I think Ankalaev is too good at his strengths and doesn't really have weaknesses.
I think it's going to be an upset.
Or Jan. You think so?
Yeah, just because when I look at the fight, I look at who is a better striker, Adesanya or Ankalaev?
I mean, easily it has to be Jan, right?
Easily, Adesanya was the better striker than Ankalaev.
Oh, well, yeah. Adesanya was a way better striker. But the problem is that Adesanya's striking was very isolated, whereas Ankalaev, like, his striking, it all feeds in to the, like, getting you to the ground and getting to the body lock. And
I haven't seen him do too much of that, personally, because I watched the Iwan Kutalaba fight, both of them, by the way, because there's two. I don't know if I'm remembering.
Watch the Thiago Santos fight. Watch, who else did he wrestle fuck before that? The Nikita Krylov fight. It's all, unless you're literally forcing him to have a striking fight with you, like Ian Kudalaba's little ball of rage. Anthony Smith, Thiago Santos, all of these fights were just, I'm going to lay on you, essentially.
Okay.
Nikita Krylov, Volkan Uzdemir, they were all like that. And then the last exciting fight that he had was Ian Kutalaba, both of them. Mm-hmm. They were both great. Obviously.
Okay. I think Jan's going to stick this one out. I actually haven't seen Ankalaev wrestle fuck somebody. I should go back and watch some of his older fights. Then I'll watch the Santos fight.
You've only caught the good ones, it seems. Because either you should watch all of the ones where he wrestle fucks people, or you should watch the last second Paul Craig by triangle submission part 8 that he did to Ankalaev in his debut. Ankalaev was coming out like, oh, I'm this amazing prospect. Paul Craig was like, no, we laddie, behold.
I love Paul Craig, dude.
He rules.
I love Paul Craig.
Scottish Roman Dolidze.
Yeah, real shit.
Or is Roman Dolidze the Georgian Paul Craig?
Who came? Who is it? Who is in the?
I don't know who came first, the Dolidze or the Craig.
The Dolidze or the Craig. That was good. I'm sorry.
You're picking legendary Polish power.
Yeah, I'm picking legendary Polish power. Two-time champion. I think he's gonna catch him. I don't know if Ankalaev wrestle fucks Jan, because Jan is actually a somewhat good grappler.
So what happens? Imagine this timeline, right? Jan beats Ankalaev for the belt.
Mm-hmm.
Glover Jan 2. Glover wins the exact same way, just old man jiu-jitsu him to death.
Oh my.
And then by that time, Yuri's shoulder is good, and they do Yuri
And then we
Glover
just get
two.
Yuri Glover 2,
and Yuri
anyway
gets the belt again.
That would be so funny.
We just like repeat a year of heavyweight.
I think that would be the most light heavyweight thing to happen. So that's what
it'd
I think is going to happen.
I would love it.
It'll be the worst fucking shit ever, but it'll be funny as shit when Yuri's back and he's fighting Teixeira.
It'd be great. But I would love Jan to get the belt again. That'd be great. He's such a cool dude, and he really earned it. Like, he was supposed to fight John Jones, and it never happened. Remember that fight? I forget who he knocked out, but he knocked someone out, and then he went over the cage and was talking to John Jones, and John, after the fight, was like, yeah, Blachowicz is really the threat, that division, and then just never fought again.
Oh, he knocked out Dom Reyes.
No, that was before that. It was because
the fight right before that. Oh, it was Corey Anderson.
Yeah, it was Corey Anderson. Fucking Corey Anderson. We knocked out Corey Anderson, and John Jones was front row, and he was like, yeah, I see you. You're the real threat. And he never got that money fight. He never, he defended the belt against Adesanya, but no one gave him credit. They're just like, oh yeah, Adesanya wasn't light enough or wasn't heavy enough, whatever. But Jan actually did a really good job in that fight. Mm. I pieced up Dom Reyes, like, took him apart. I hope he does well. And I don't really have too much of an investment in Ankalaev.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Ankalaev is friends with all the other Dagestanis. Like, most of them are kind of cool with each other, at least. And I don't think I've seen Ankalaev around Habib and the Habib people. So there's not even the investment there where it's like, oh, it'd be cool to see more of that camp winning. He just is sort of a guy and doesn't have a personality. So Jan reads the Lord of the Rings to his toddler. I hope he wins. Listen,
the two Polish fighters. We got the Book of Five Rings and the Lord of the Rings.
Like, no, Yuri's Czech. He's Czechoslovakian.
Oh, right.
The only other Polish fighter.
Czech sword versus Polish.
Marcin Tybura is Polish. Marcin Praknio is Polish, and Karolina Kowalkiewicz is Polish. Polish.
And
I don't know how
and,
many.
And Joanna.
Well, Joanna's not in the UFC anymore.
Yeah, I know she's retired, but still, shout out Joanna. Shout out Joanna. Yeah.
I think I listed all the Polish fighters off top. There might be more, but I know most of my brethren.
Hmm.
Speaking of Joanna,
it's better. It's real quick. It's better than my Italian brethren in the UFC for sure.
Oh well, you have number one contender and future champion Marvin the Italian Dream Vittori.
He's not winning a title, dude. He's not winning.
If he fights, listen. This at this point, middleweight is actually really interesting because it's just a race to Pejera. It's which guy who's really good at wrestling is going to get Pejera first and be favored against him. And Vittori might be the guy.
It's not because Robert Whittaker is going to get that fight first.
Well, Robert Whittaker is going to fight Paulo Costa. They haven't announced that fight's canceled.
All right, I'll save my pick for that fight. But yeah, I just think the guy's going to be Robert Whittaker. I don't think it's going to be Marvin fucking Vittori. Because think about it. You have that fight.
Can you imagine
the winner of Costa and Whittaker is going to fight him, right? Like,
can you imagine him with his stupid orc face putting on the UFC title belt?
Backwards.
I can't. CFU.
Puts it on upside down and then has the fucking, like, the strap in the front and then the title in the back.
He really looks like Bizarro Superman. His ugliness knows
he's
no
so
bounds.
Ugly, dude.
Yeah, he's so bad.
Yeah, but that's my Italian brethren. Shout out Marvin Vittori.
Rip.
You're weird, but you're blood, so.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, speaking of Joanna Jędrzejczyk, TJ Dillashaw retired.
Wait, what? Speaking of Joanna Jędrzejczyk, what?
old guy, a lot of heritage, coming off a staggering knockout in a fight that he was probably supposed to win.
Uh-huh.
Or a favorite to win, at least.
Yeah.
Like, they picked Joanna against Zhang, a lot of people.
True.
Is TJ Pillashaw the GOAT of bantamweight?
I think if you're going to say that he's the GOAT of bantamweight, you have to then have the opinion that Anderson Silva is the GOAT at middleweight.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So my question...
Which I do.
Okay, so if you have that opinion, then yes, TJ Dillashaw is the greatest bantamweight of all time.
I disagree. I think it's Dominic Cruz.
I mean, it could be. It could be. I look at the competition, though. I just see TJ Dillashaw's wins a little bit more over Dom's, personally.
Kevin Morrell, Cody Garbrandt. Yeah.
Cody Garbrandt.
There's guys.
Cody Garbrandt again. You got a Sun Sal, Sanhagen.
A Sun Sal slept on wins. That was really impressive because a Sun Sal was making guys look ridiculous.
Yeah, and TJ made him look like shit. Like straight up made him look like shit.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to say TJ is. Maybe that's biased because he is what got me into fighting. I mean, that Dutch style of Muay Thai, is just, for me, it's beautiful. I fucking use TJ Dillashaw's strikes. Like, the one where he switches stances and like, throws a high kick right after, like, the rear punch after the... Like, you switch stance, throw the 1-2, and then the other one comes over, and then the kick comes with the punch.
It's beautiful.
That's one of my, like, that's what I do in Muay Thai right now. Because of him.
Yeah, he rules.
I've watched the Dominic Cruz TJ Dillashaw fight like probably 100 times. Like straight up just sit there and watch that fight. It's not the most exciting fight, but if you're a big fan of striking technique, you should watch.
Do you think he should have won?
Do I think he should have won? I think it's one of those fights where it's hard to call.
Yeah.
I think he should have won, but so should have Dom.
That was Cruz's win.
Yeah. So the way I look at like title fights like that is you have to beat the champion, right? It's kind of like an unspoken rule. Like if you're not gonna split decision win a champion or whatever for a title change, So with that being said, technically the champion was always Dom. So the right guy won and with that sort of mindset because Dom was always the champion.
Yeah.
I think either one could have won that fight. You should rewatch it, honestly. Like, if you're a big fan of striking, that's one of the best striking displays for both men because of the defense, the head movement, and like the setups. And I mean, they kept moving, like they weren't stopping. You know what I mean? Neither one of them got really hurt in that fight. Whereas, like, my fucking knee blew out halfway through and it became a stand and bang. Right. No, it was a technical striking match, and it was it was always very enjoyable for me to watch. Even now, I rewatched it the other day. I think TJ Dillashaw is the GOAT, but I don't think he's the definitive GOAT. He's just the GOAT for me.
I think there's arguments that can be made.
Well, Dominic Cruz is the most obvious and most solid argument to make. And if you tell me that Dominic Cruz is the GOAT, I'm going to say, yeah. Like, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
It's like saying, is Khabib the GOAT or John Jones the GOAT? I think you can really make a case for both of them. I have my opinion on that. But my opinion is my opinion, and if you say Khabib is better than, is more of a GOAT than John Jones, I'm not going to be like, all right, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, you fucking idiot, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just how I feel. I think TJ is the GOAT. He's had a good career, PEDs aside. I wish he didn't fucking pop, dude, like, because that's the only reason.
I think the problem with TJ's problem in terms of the GOAT argument is every GOAT has, like, this pinnacle moment.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like Anderson Silva has the front kicks and the crazy striking shit, like all the fun highlights. Yeah.
TJ's was Khabib the Cody Garbrandt's knockouts.
Khabib has the wrestle stuff.
Yeah.
I think, like, if we're going just based off peak, Cody Garbrandt on that one night against Dominic Cruz is the best fighter I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I'm not even saying bantamweight.
That version of Cody Garbrandt is
the best fighter I've ever seen in my fucking life.
Right. Same thing with the Conor 155 against Eddie Alvarez.
Yeah, those two together, like, it's close for me. The reason I picked Cody is he did it over five rounds. Yeah,
and against Dominic Cruz.
Right, exactly.
Like, Conor did it against Eddie Alvarez. Respect to the Philly guy, Eddie Alvarez, dog.
But,
you know?
Like, Conor picked that match. Conor knew, yeah.
Well, okay, was whoever was going to have that title. But he could have waited
for Eddie Alvarez to lose to...
But he wanted that belt right then, you know? Like,
exactly. But, Cody Garbrandt, that's a fight I rewatch often, is Cody Garbrandt, Dominic Cruz, where it's just like him literally
picked him
dancing
apart.
On him.
He just rope-a-doped Dominic Cruz. Like, Dominic Cruz thought he could fucking outstrike him.
And honestly, if Cody hadn't completely fallen off a cliff, where now he's, for medical reasons, getting removed from fights with Hani Yahya, like, if Cody had a couple more wins after that, we could be calling Cody the GOAT right now, because came up, beat a few dudes, beat Dominic Cruz, maybe beat TJ Dillashaw, starched him in the first round, and then beat, like, Pedro Munoz or someone, and now we're being like, okay, he's the best ever. But that's not how it went.
No, yeah.
Yeah, I hope TJ's okay. I think, obviously, he took the fight at 280, even with his shoulder ripped out, because he needed the money, he needed the class. I hope that he's physically okay. Like, I hope that the shoulder being re-aggravated and popping out, he's not having to retire because he has, like, long-term crippling damage to his shoulder. That would be the worst possibility. I don't hold any animosity towards him. It's fun to shit on people when they pop for roids, but, like, your favorite athlete is doing roids. I'm really sorry. They're just roids that we don't have tests for yet. LeBron James is on mega HGH.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally. Have you heard?
That's why his hairline's fucked up. It's from all the HGH. Well,
do you know Open Mike Eagle, the rapper?
Yeah, yeah. He said your hairline's fucked up from the HGH.
Hannibal Buress on an Open Mike Eagle song.
I love that fucking song, dude.
His hairline's fucked up from the HGH. Went from one headband
to
88. Yeah. Stop pissing on the motherfucking toilet stool.
Shout out Open Mike Eagle. I love his music. Yeah. Love his music.
Yeah. He rules.
And Hannibal Buress, who performed in Brooklyn Bowl, Philly, when I was working for Adult Swim Fest.
Oh, sick. Yeah. That rules. Yeah, he's starting to make rap music on his own now.
Yeah. When he was bowling, I was security for him when he was bowling.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but I just had to stand there and not look at him. They told me not to look at him.
I'm crying.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dillashaw's retired. It was a weird little moment last night where he was retired and then he wasn't retired per his camp and then he was retired per his agent and then he wasn't retired per people at his gym and then he was retired per him. But I believe he is retired. I'm fairly certain that he will not fight again. There are people who are saying that he's just going to McGregor this and go juice for 8 months to recover from the shoulder injury and then come back and get back in the testing pool. But I don't think that's how it's going to go. I would be really interested to see him do some analytics work for the UFC, whether that's a desk spot or be Dominic Cruz and commentate a couple spots.
Could
or
you
like
imagine
that.
TJ Dillashaw and Dominic Cruz working a pay-per-view?
I think that it should be TJ.
Where are you going to go?
Dillashaw.
You can't go anywhere. He's got to talk to me, W.
So, all right, let's do this. Let's do this. TJ Dillashaw and Dominic Cruz have to commentate a Henry Cejudo bantamweight title
Sterling
fight. No. Reffed by Keith Peterson.
Oh my god!
It's just hatred incarnate in that booth, and Joe Rogan sitting between them.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, man,
oh my god,
it.
That'd be so funny. I'll tell you what, TJ could do it. He's smart. He's a really smart striker.
He's really smart, and he's really good at talking about the sport. Like I've heard him in
interviews. Oh yeah.
He really knows his shit.
Who knows? That might be why
he
retired.
A rival organization. Like, you know how, was it Randy Couture and Forrest Griffin? They're over at PFL.
Right.
Like, maybe he finds a spot to go to where they value him and they pay him and he does some cool commentary work. He'd be great.
Yeah, he would be great.
Or like he starts a gym. He has so many possibilities. I think that TJ Dillashaw is one of the underrated talents.
That's probably why he retired. He probably's got a gig lined up.
Hope so.
But my opinion is he's going to Bellator or PFL, and he's going to fight. That's what I think. I think somebody's going to pay him $1 million, and he's going to come out of retirement when his shoulder's healthy.
Oh, we didn't talk last episode. Marlon Moraes lost again in PFL. A lot of people lost again in PFL.
Yeah.
Marlon Moraes, he won until he didn't.
Yeah, won until he didn't. Yeah.
I feel bad for him.
Yeah. If he would have fought Shane Burgos, that man would have gotten starched.
Yeah, it's really sad. Well, he got starched by the other Moraes.
Yep.
Shaylin Relias?
Yeah,
his name
something
is.
Like that.
Yeah. Okay, so Dillashaw's retired. We covered the James Krause stuff.
Yep.
Orlando, 282. Is there anything else on your radar?
I thought I did have something on my radar. I don't think so.
They're trying to get John Jones and Ngannou for March.
Okay.
If failing that, they're going to try to do John Jones, Curtis Blaydes. And the other thing I'm hearing is that the January Brazil event does not have a confirmed main event. Figgy Moreno 4 is not the projected main event currently.
It's got to be Paheia Adesanya then, maybe.
I mean, maybe.
Because they're going to do that rematch. I don't think they don't.
Yeah. I don't think you put Usman Edwards 2 in Rio. I don't think that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that should be London. Should be a London card. Because UK people love Leon right now.
Well, I think they're confirmed to have the April pay-per-view is going to be in London.
Mm,
whether
okay.
it's the O2 or the Wembley or Tottenham Hotspur.
That's where we're
going to
see it then.
Do it.
That's where we're going to see it.
You know, that Paddy Pimblett co-main event.
Darren Till on the
Molly
card.
Molly McCann
pulls
opening
out.
Main card.
Darren Till on the card pulls out.
Paul
I'm a Darren Till. Yeah, I'm a big Darren Till mark, so I hope he doesn't pull out. But we'll see.
Yeah.
We have, what's today? Tuesday? We have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, maybe, and then early Saturday to find out if Darren Till pulls out.
Because remember the last thing was an eye injury?
Yeah.
What body part is Darren Till going to have a rare debilitating injury to pull out of this card?
Yeah.
I'm betting on he's going to have a flesh-eating virus on his shins.
This is fucking...
I'm trying to do the Darren Till voice, but I can't. Well, my fault. I got it from wrestling Chimaev.
Yeah, right.
You know those Russians? That's more Irish.
Oh, you know those Russians, mate.
My Manchester accent.
He's just going to keep going in the mic, make British sounds.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be really fun until, you know, like the early prelims are always fun. They have a lot of, you know, random knockout artists on them. And then... Chris Curtis, Joaquin Buckley will be fun, and then everything after that, like I said, I think is decisions. But
right.
I will still watch because it's a pay-per-view.
It is a pay-per-view.
Anything
can
happen.
It's not bad.
We
it's
thought
not
Usman
bad.
Usman Edwards was going to be terrible.
It's not a bad
Usman
one.
Edwards was amazing.
Yeah, these slept on pay-per-views. they're usually bangers.
So, all right, we'll close with this, actually.
Well, actually, real quick, when you close, before you close with that, Henry Cejudo and Aljamain Sterling is going to happen.
That's February, right?
That's for February.
Okay.
Apparently, that fight is going to happen.
So, I have a question to finish us out.
Okay.
This year, what's the best pay-per-view and the worst? Obviously, we're waiting for this one, but I think it's pretty clear that this isn't going to beat some of the best cards of the year.
The best pay-per-view?
What was the best one and what was the worst one?
281.
I agree.
281 was the best. I don't know what the least one. I can't recall pay-per-views off the top of my head.
I'm looking at the schedule and I think there's a pretty clear choice. Well, I guess you could give it to two.
Let me look up the list then.
The easiest one for me right off the top was Covington Masvidal.
That's the
that would be the worst.
The worst one? Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
The co-main event was Rafael Dos Anjos, Renato Moicano, 5 rounds.
Huh.
It was just kind of eh. Beyond that, I think you could say, I don't know, Adesanya Cannoneer.
That's where I would lean. I'm going to lean at Adesanya Cannoneer.
I mean, but you got to see Volkanovski in dominant fashion again. Alex Bejeda coming out party. Brian Barberena. But yeah, I guess that's up there. Diaz Ferguson was so fun.
Yeah, I like that card.
Yeah.
I thought Covington and Jorge was a good card because RDA Moicano was a barn burner. Bryce Mitchell, yeah, wrestle fuck the guy, whatever. But yeah, that was boring.
Jalen Green was on that card. Yeah,
Jalen
Green.
Jalen Turner was on that card with against
Jalen Turner. Yeah. My fault.
Kevin Holland had a fun knockout. Yeah. Spivak had a fun knockout against Greg Hardy. Fuck Greg Hardy. I hate Greg Hardy.
Fuck Greg Hardy. Isn't he boxing now?
He beat Haseem Rahman.
Oh my god.
He yeah. So
yeah. So Adesanya Cannoneer is the worst. Pending this pay per view, 281 is the best. So an Adesanya pay per view where he lost is the best, and an Adesanya pay per view where he won in dominant fashion is the worst.
Huh. Funny. Huh. Funny how that goes.
All right, unless you have anything else, that is it for me. I am pretty much out of fight topics. I have to go back and rewatch Orlando this week. It'll either be tonight or tomorrow. But
no, I think I pretty much summed it up. We kind of covered everything. So let's call it a show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for watching. Thank you to Anchor FM, who is our lovely sponsor.
Right.
You know, download Anchor FM, make your own podcast, do it all for free on your phone, on your PC, wherever the fuck you want to do it. If you want to do it on your Apple Watch, I don't know if you can.
You can, I believe, receive phone calls there using Bluetooth. So if you have Bluetooth headphones and an Apple Watch, you can record your podcast on your Apple Watch.
That's pretty solid.
I think.
But yeah, that's going to do it for us. We will be back probably after the pay-per-view.
Definitely after the pay-per-view.
We'll see if we got some new fight news by then, because there's a lot of speculation,
hopefully,
a lot of rumor.
Everything dies out in December in terms of actual fights happening,
because of the holidays.
Also when a lot of
yeah.
announcements happen, so I'm optimistic.
Yeah, so probably over the holiday season, we'll see a lot of announcements, and when
will get a fight booked. That's my prediction for December.
Okay.
By January 1st, John Jones will have a matchup.
I don't think John Jones will be fighting ever again. Personally, I will not go back. I will not back away from that take. I am, however, going to back away from the Henry Cejudo will never fight again take.
Yeah, he's fighting Aljo 100%.
Yeah, which is, I can't believe he actually came back.
Love it.
Can't believe he did.
All right.
Yeah. So we'll see you guys again. Thank you for tuning in. Bullshito Podcast. Sam Ames, professional Yuri Prochazka. Beautiful. Mark, and then me.
Yes.
I don't really know what I do. But I'll figure it out and come to you next week with a better intro.
Dutch Muay Thai master.
Dutch Muay Thai. I'm not a master, though. I'm not a master. TJ Dillashaw sympathizer? Maybe?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. TJ Dillashaw sympathizer? Yeah. All right. Cool. That'll be on the the old Instagram, whatever.
Love it.
Nicknames, whatever.
Love it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Right.
Bye-bye.
See you next week.
Fun show, Sam. Thank you very much.
Lovely as always.
Bye-bye.
See you next week.
just hang up.